Ian Dale at Drive on LBC.
6:36. When we talk about Donald Trump, there's one person I always want to talk to, and that is Simon Marks, our US correspondent, and he joins me now. Simon, good evening.
Hello, Ian. Happy New Year.
And you too. I look at this story about Trump and Assange with a mounting degree of incredulity. I cannot understand how anybody who has been elected President of the United States can say anything positive about Julian Assange.
Well, it's pretty noteworthy, not least because in the past, Donald Trump has had nothing positive to say about Julian Assange. Back in 2010, he called the WikiLeaks of documents that had been provided to Julian Assange by Bradley Manning disgraceful, and he suggested that the people at WikiLeaks and those responsible should be eligible, as he put it, for the death penalty or something. So at the time, a mere 6 years ago, he was no fan of Julian Assange at all. However, fast forward to January 2017, and we all woke up this morning to discover that Donald Trump was in Trump Tower tweeting away. He'd evidently seen the interview that Julian Assange had recorded with Sean Hannity, conservative talk show host on the Fox News channel, which was broadcast here last night, and facing a choice of accepting information that has been collated and sifted by America's intelligence gathering agencies, all of whom say the Russians were behind the hacking attack on the Democratic Party's servers, or accepting Julian Assange's version of events that it wasn't the Russians who gave me the information. He appeared on Twitter very much to be endorsing Mr. Assange's worldview.
I wonder what the director of the CIA or the FBI makes of this, because they are going to be answerable to Donald Trump as commander-in-chief in just 16 days' time. It's difficult to understand how either of those two individuals could serve under Donald Trump.
Well, it really is difficult to understand how this relationship is going to work at all. And Donald Trump and the intelligence community at this stage are on a collision course. A little bit earlier this morning, before he started giving his imprimatur to Julian Assange's view of what had happened, Donald Trump started using the word intelligence in inverted commas on Twitter. The intelligence briefing he wrote on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange, he observed. Now, the intelligence community has hit back, saying that's simply not true. There was never a plan, they say, to brief Donald Trump before Friday of this week. And bear in mind that this is the same Donald Trump who is perfectly eligible for daily intelligence briefings that match the briefings that President Obama receives every day at the White House, but he's eschewed them. He's turned the briefers away. He says he doesn't need to be getting daily briefings. They just need to come and speak to him anytime anything has changed. So quite how the intelligence infrastructure here finds a way of working with Donald Trump, I think, is a very big question that we'll all be looking at in the hours immediately after the inauguration on January the 20th, especially given that Donald Trump keeps saying, look, these are the guys who said that Saddam Hussein and Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. They were wrong about that. How do we know they were right when they say that Russia was behind this hack attack?
Ridiculous argument, isn't it? Just because they're wrong on one thing, that automatically means that they're wrong on everything else.
And it's also worth making the point very briefly, Ian, that, you know, there's not a single Republican up on Capitol Hill, or at least not one that's gone public, that appears to agree with Donald Trump about all of this. So he's ranging himself not just against the intelligence establishment here, but also against the very Republican members of Congress on whose support he's going to have to rely.
Well, you know that song, Simon? There may be trouble ahead.
I think we'll be here every day.
We will, and it's inevitable, isn't it? Simon, thank you very much indeed. That's Simon Marks, our US correspondent. I've never sung to him before, and I promise I won't do it ever again.